This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You want to go to Dega, baby?
It's Dega, baby.
Talladega!
Dega!
We're going to be giving tickets away for the Sunday, October 6th race. What is it going to be? A family four-pack, huh?
There you go.
There we go.
Bring the playoff race.
There's your cultural bouillabaisse of humanity there in Dega,
Rob,
baby.
Bring your own, your own cooler.
Talladega!
You bring your own cooler, whatever you want to throw in there. Load it down. And you get the free four-pack tickets from 92.9.
No glass bottles.
That's your weekend. You want to talk about the cheapest weekend you can have.
It's right over the border, too.
Free parking. You get the free tickets from us, and you bring your well, not free drinks. You got to buy them at the store. But
yeah, but you can go like, you know, Natty Light.
That's a good point.
What is Dega? Hour 45 from here?
Give or take.
If.
Depends on if they're doing road work on I-20.
I was going to say, it all depends. And I know they're going to redo it. I think they're starting the process of redoing that I-20-285 interchange. But that whole interchange is a dumpster fire.
I made that trip many of times, and they were doing that. They were doing the road work through there.
Yeah.
To Talladega, and it's.
I've never told you a story about that.
It's an easy ride, though.
That's that. You know, you get on the other side of the state line. I don't know if I got drafted here, and I kept driving down 20, and I would cross the state line in the road. Everything between Birmingham and the state line was under construction for the first 6 or 7 years I lived here. Finally, I asked somebody involved in the state. I said, "What happened?" They said, "Basically, they gave the contract out to somebody that tried to do it cheaply, and they put a thin layer of asphalt over the interstate, and a semi truck kicked up a chunk and it went through somebody's windshield."
Well, there you go.
So they shut the whole interstate down to 50 miles an hour for that 100-mile stretch, and they had to redo it over the course of, 8 years. I was like, dude, that's the most Alabama thing I've heard in a long time. Let's try to be cheap on the interstate.
There's certain roads that's always under construction. I-20 going to Birmingham or Talladega.
425.
425.
Thank God that's finished. That's right by my house.
75 south below, Locust Grove area.
Oh, my God.
That's always a nightmare.
Yeah, down there, there's either bad traffic, but there's always been a lot of construction down 75 south a lot. It's just and now the last time I went through Chattanooga going to Nashville.
Yeah.
That's under construction
now,
too.
Downtown Chattanooga is always a mess.
Yeah, it's a debacle.
All right, Falcons getting ready for the Saints coming up on Sunday, 1 o'clock. You can hear right here on Sports Radio, 99 Game. What time's pregame start? The Wade Ford tailgate? What's that, about 6 a.m.?
Wade Ford's at 9. Pregame show starts at 11 with Mike Johnson and Chris Goforth.
Boom!
And then at 1 o'clock, of course, 102, West Durham and Dave Archer. And you know, one of the greatest producers of all time, me.
Well, I will say so myself. I think we have the best pregame show in the NFL. So if you want to hear some really good numbers thrown at you that continues what I'll be talking about today in this segment, then you'll want to hear that at 11 o'clock.
You're going to rain man your way through that thing,
you know
aren't
what I
you?
Mean? I just love it, man.
By the way, we're going to have buckets of rain today and some high winds. Looks like the rain's going to move out about lunchtime tomorrow, though. So just grin and bear for the next 30 hours.
That's good because
like
Lone Star's playing in downtown Sandy Springs, so I want to hit that. You know what I mean?
Get that thing. Tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Oh, not tonight, though.
No, thank God.
All right. Falcons, third down's been an issue for them, obviously. Let's hear from Raheem Morris about that.
There's no one specific thing, right? Because you got to put it all in different buckets, right? There's something happening in third down that happened in the red zone, and that's red zone execution. Some of them happen in these long yardage situations, which you don't want to be in. You know, the 12-plus, the 11-plus, those are not likely the ones that you can attain. You can get them every once in a while, but you don't want to live in that world. So that becomes down to efficiency on first down. And then the ones that you want to get, like the ones at the end of the game, the short yardage, whether you're talking about 3rd-and-1 or 4th-and-1, those are the ones you got to have. And those are the moments you got to stand up and be your best version of yourself, and we haven't been right now.
He was on Dukes and Bell, by the way, yesterday.
Yeah, and it's all, listen, it's all about making sure that you don't allow the other team to create pressure. And I think that's going to be, to me, pressuring the quarterback is a bigger deal for this game than it's been, and on both sides, than it's been throughout the season so far. We all know, I mean, it's almost a historical fact at this point, when Derek Carr is under pressure, he's not good.
Yep.
And Kirk Cousins, for the most part, this season has not been good. Like, neither one of them so far this year have been good on third down under pressure, man. So I think that's a massive key to the game for sure.
I think it always is. I think anytime you can speed a quarterback's clock up, even guys that want to run, if you speed them up, there are times where you can run them into sacks, because that's honestly been one of the issues at Justin Fields.
Or run them in interceptions.
Yeah, Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, remember all the conversation about all the sacks? They have ran themselves into sacks at times in their career. Now, it hasn't been a problem this year, but they've done a good job of protecting. But it's always that way when you can speed a quarterback up. That's why the guys will tell you that sacks aren't as important as pressures.
Yeah. Well, I do have these stats to throw at you guys. Derek Carr last week was pressured on 44% of his dropbacks, which is a huge uptick from what it was in week one and week two. It was 12% and 29%. 44% of his dropbacks when he was pressured on those 44%, 3 of 11 for 19 yards and an interception. 3 of 11 for 19 yards and an interception when he got pressured last week. And shout out to Jalen Carter for getting that done as well, because he had the best game of the year so far.
It's crazy how the NFL could work as the Saints look like offensive juggernauts first 2 weeks of the season, then last week that
matchups. And the same thing happened to the Bucks. They allowed, I think, like 8 or 9 sacks with Denver, and it was just about they were getting pressure on Baker, and it changed that game. I think Jalen Carter had his best game as an NFL player.
He smelled blood in the water. When they started shuffling that O-line for New Orleans, he was like, it's go time.
Well, he wanted to fight after the game, too, after all that nonsense.
You know what he looked like, Rob, when I was watching tape? I told Bo this. He looked like vintage Ndamukong Suh. That's what he looked like.
That's nasty.
You knew he had the power to bull rush you, so you had to get a little lean as an offensive lineman. The minute you did, swim move in the backfield.
And for him, it's going to be consistent. You know, guy consistency. Why are you not? And I know that you're not going to have it week in and week out. It's going to be hard. They're going to play you differently. Sure. You're going to have guys that know how to play you that maybe match up well, just like we talked about. But week in and week out, why is that not something? Because you look at him and talent wise, and what everybody says about him, he's a guy that can dominate if he wants to. And why don't you want to every week? That was one of the questions coming out of him on him in college. So,
well, that's also aside from the incident up there in Athens, of course. That's what probably scared a lot of people away too. Varying degrees of engagement and desire.
Yeah, to your point, it's just interesting too, because like I said, he smelled blood in the water. The line gets shuffled around. I don't know, you know, Clint Kubiak, the OC down there, has done a good job, but I don't know if he was like ready to react to Eric McCoy going down. So it was like, man, what do I do now? Oh, I stick with the same game plan. Oh my God, it's not working. And Jalen Carter's like, all right, cool.
Well, Cesar Ruiz didn't have a good game either against him, and him getting banged up didn't help. He's also banged up, by the way.
Well, third down also an issue defensively for the Atlanta Falcons. This segment brought to you by Third Down, by the way. Let's hear from Raheem Morris on that. Third down defensively.
There's no one specific thing, right? Because you got to put it all in a. You know, the first couple of games, got some tough sacks. Got a couple hits in this game. Got 8 of them. They had 13. I think they had 2 sacks or 1 sack. I'm not sure. But we definitely got to get home so we can create some of these longer third downs or get off the field.
It's just like I said on offense. I said that's the most important down for the Falcons offensively is first down, having success on first down. It's equally the same defensively. If you allow, and this has been a problem in our run.
Football 101, right?
In our run defense, we're allowing guys like last week, Carson Steele would run off a 7-yard chunk on first down. Well, now you turn on a 2nd and 3. They have their entire playbook open now that they can do whatever they want because they have a free down, essentially.
Right.
And with Patrick Mahomes, the last thing you want to give him is a free down. Any NFL quarterback, really. The Falcons defensively, if they want to get more pressures or create these, you know, turnovers, I think to me it's having success on first down as a defense and putting someone in a 3rd and 6 or a 2nd and 7 or 9 or whatever. That to me is where you're going to be able to create those sacks and turnovers.
And you're spot on. That the long yardage downs is where the sacks and turnovers happen. And here's, Rob, here's your final stat of this segment. the most damning to me stat between these two teams, and it kind of tells you what the season has been so far for these two teams. The Saints are averaging 6.0 sacks plus takeaways. Sacks plus takeaways, right? Forced turnovers. 6.0 per game. That's number three in the league. The Falcons are averaging 1.7 sacks plus takeaways per game. That's 30th.
Didn't the Saints kind of, that number could be kind of inflated, skewed,
it definitely
due
is.
To the fact, especially week one against Carolina.
On well, both sides.
Fact, yeah.
On both sides. And here's what I'll tell you, Rob. We had this conversation yesterday with Brian Baldinger. I would argue that the Falcons have played three of the hardest quarterbacks to rush in the NFL. Like, you just, you can't pass rush Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes and Justin Fields the way you would any other quarterback, and the way hopefully they can start rushing Derek Carr this weekend.
I would even tell you that the Falcons have played three of the, you know, when you talk about the turnover thing, Falcons have played three of the tougher defenses in the league. I mean, Pittsburgh, you know, as far as yards per game, is the top defense in the league. I mean, they have been really good. Kansas City, we know, has a good defense. And then, you know, Philadelphia, now they might not have played as well against us as we thought, but the reality is they went into New Orleans and they beat them up physically and shut down what was the best scoring offense in NFL.
All right, coming on, go in the huddle. What's the latest on Alvin Kamara? Did not practice yesterday, and seems like in the huddle going to be dominated by injury news, especially if you're the San Francisco 49ers. That's coming up next on the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 99.9 The Game.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Smart, lasting, clean, do you? Go to zeroRes.com. Welcome back to the Morning Shift. Triple in for Tiffany. I'll be here tomorrow and Monday as well, so I'm going to have to man up on Monday.
That's going to be a lot of fun, man. There's some good games to pick.
Yeah. You won't have to man up if you just make the right picks.
Well, I have such a terrible track record of that.
I realize that I'm much better at the over-under selection than I am the base on the line. I've realized that because I won both my over-unders.
I know. Yeah, so the rules changed for that last week. We'll have to dive into that tomorrow.
The rules didn't change. They were never stated.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you where you've gone wrong, and I'm terrible too. So I'm not preaching to you. This is not what I'm trying to do. But there is a
sounds
realm.
Like
you've
it.
Made
feels like it.
You've made picks the last 2 weeks that are just recency bias. You are the Vanderbilt lost to Georgia State, and you're like, Mizzou's gonna beat the crap out of Vanderbilt. And I'm like,
no,
dude,
I'm not.
Don't do this.
Hold on, that's not recency. Vandy has been terrible for years. Yes, they beat Va Tech at home. But let me finish. First game of the year at home. You know, upsets happen on the road on the sleeping 11 a.m. starts for local time. Mizzou, it was very dominant on offense last year. They look pretty good this year so far. They beat, I think, a good Boston College team handedly. I just expected
they were ranked when they came in there.
Yeah, I expected them to handle business at home against a long-term doormat in the league. Sorry if that's not only that's recency bias. I think I just picked them on the wrong weekend.
Well, you just said Vanderbilt beat Virginia Tech.
Well, who the hell is Virginia Tech? I'm not buying that they're any good either.
Yeah, I mean, who the hell's Vanderbilt, to your point?
That's why I thought Missouri would win. I get what you're saying, because Vandy has looked like a much better team this year, even though they lost to Georgia State.
They play hard.
You never want someone to say that about you. That's like when I walk in the door, he's like, somebody's like, yeah, he's pretty short, but he's kind of stout. I mean,
he's a nice dude, man.
He's the Bryce Elder of sports talk radio hosts.
I'd like to think I'm a little bit more consistent than Bryce Elder. We got a couple of Bryce Elders around here, but I hope I'm not one of them.
Oh, boy.
More of a Spencer Schwellenbach.
Boy, isn't that something? Wasn't that something? What a great outing the other night by him, of course. And I've been high on him all year. I just saw it.
Rob, we had Smoltz on, and Smoltz raved about him. And then right after our show, Steakhouse had Snitker on. And Steak, you know how Steak will interview you, and then he'll start asking you a question as you're answering the first question, and which I think is honestly really good. And he said, he goes, but what, you know, what did you know about him? And he Snitker goes,
nothing.
He goes, oh, hell. He goes, hell, I didn't know anything about him. I didn't know who he was. He was an A-ball player, for God's sake.
I had to have his last name phonetically spelled for me on a piece of paper.
When he said he was an A-ball player coming into spring training, I didn't know anything
how
about
many,
him.
How many baseball players go into a training camp? Like, how many actual players are in a training camp? Not the big league camp. I'm talking about the entire thing. Like, you go into training camp. Everybody's, you know, everybody in the organization is in the same place.
It feels like 100.
It's got to be right, like 100, 120. Doesn't that blow your mind, though, with Snicker saying that, how good some football, like college football coaches are at knowing players on their team?
Yep.
Like, when you step to a podium, they're like, hey, Scott Jones been running scout team corner for you. You're like, you just know that college football coach is going, Who the hell is that?
Deion Sanders didn't even know the name of a starting center, right?
Yeah, well, that's a whole other topic, buddy. They can get me cranked off on that.
You can have up to 60 players on your spring training roster.
But that's the big league roster.
That's the big league
right?
one. Yeah. But I mean, you're talking about
a bunch of guys, though, getting at bats and everything else.
Yeah, you're talking about the organization, basically. Yeah. With the organization, that's hundreds, right?
Yeah,
it's got to be.
No Braves baseball tonight, clearly because of the weather. Royals coming to town. Doubleheader on Monday. Well, at least one game will be played on Monday. Everything could be decided. Don't know what Snett's going to do with the pitching staff. I have no idea. So
I don't think anybody does, man. Yeah, so it's going
to
be interesting.
Really, that's all there is to say until we have baseball resuming tomorrow.
I think the decision he has to make, and both of you guys can weigh in, I think he has to live in the moment and say, hey, it's this guy's turn. He's going to pitch against the Royals. Or does he say that those games with the Mets could carry more weight and we want our best going in those?
Well, the Mets wouldn't carry any weight if you don't take care of business this weekend.
That's a good point.
I think here's the question. Would you Schwellenbach's due to pitch Sunday? That's his next day in the rotation. Are you willing to run him out there to save him, not pitch him Sunday, depending on where you stand? And run him out there Monday again, and he's making him essentially back to back starts.
It seems like daily it's going to be like a that day decision on who's going
to
pitch.
That's what I wanted to ask you too, Rob. Like, is that fair to the pitchers if you just say, "Hey, I'll let you know that morning"? Like, I don't think you can react appropriately if that's
the situation. I think this time of the year, all hands on deck sort of thing. You know,
yeah. You got to be gritty about it.
Yep.
I like that. But I just think that's interesting too, because I agree with you. It almost feels like a day to day decision. Like, you win Friday and Saturday. You know, hey, I'll talk to you Sunday. Maybe we push you back to Monday. But it's like, dude, I don't know if that's the whole season on the line, and you got to find out, you know, 5 hours in advance that you might be throwing that day. That's kind of a crazy twister in the brain, man.
So, what do you guys think about what's going on out there with the Raiders? Antonio Pierce seems like clearly got out coached, and didn't. Of course, the Red Rifle looked fantastic. Seems like he was kind of. Seems like it is a post-game press conference, kind of shifting all the blame to his players, missed tackles here and there, but not taking accountability for the fact he was actually out-coached. I don't think that's a very good look.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You know, the way him being a former player makes that very interesting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like he hasn't been in those shoes, but I think he's probably right. And I think he's I like the fact that he didn't call anybody out by name. He just said basically the players made business decisions.
Yeah, sure.
And so I think that's the best way you can probably go about it if that's what's happening. Because I think that happens more than people realize in the NFL, in the game. It's like you get into certain situations and maybe you're a defensive line and the other team's running a lot of cut blocks, right? And you're like, dude, you know what? Down by two touchdowns? No thanks. I'm good on that. You know what I mean? Maybe I won't play to 100%. And so I think that's what he was calling out.
Yeah, a lot was made the way Devontae Adams was sitting on the bench at halftime and some of his body language. I try not to. If you're the coach and you want to say those things, I mean, there's some plays you can tell guys pull up or they're not giving full effort. We've seen guys quit on plays. That's one thing. But I think he would know. But it is a tricky, tricky road to go down when you start doing that.
Yeah. It'd be interesting, man. See how that pans out.
49ers, man, they've Brock Purdy, he's got a back issue. Did he have his MRI? Is he going to have an MRI? Christian McCaffrey out for quite a while, too.
Yeah, I don't know. Purdy was a full participant yesterday. Yeah. So was Sam Darnold. And, you know, he's been dealing with a knee injury, which they said had no structural damage, which is Sam Darnold in Minnesota, which is good for Minnesota and Sam Darnold because he's having a rejuvenation year.
Isn't it amazing how that works out. We're so quick to throw quarterbacks on the trash heap. Sometimes you just need to be in a better situation with better coaching and perhaps better personnel.
I love what you just said. Go back to that word. What did you say? Better what? Better coaching?
Yeah.
Is there a chance that O'Connell up in Minnesota is way underrated as a head coach,
as an offensive mind?
Because
So far, so good, right?
I know he's got some weapons in Hockenson and Justin Jefferson. Now, Jordan Addison's been out. So I know he's got some players, but they've been good since he stepped foot up there.
I was going to say, you say he's underrated. I feel like I have him rated appropriately. I think he's unbelievable.
But I don't – I think you, yes, but I think the average fan, which you're not, and that's not a knock on you. That's just because you played in the league. But the average fan, and even some in the national media – do not give him due. Like, Sean McVay hadn't won anything, and Sean McVay was crowned as an offensive genius. Now, he's deserved it. He's a hell of a coach and a play caller. But I feel like O'Connell won games last year with guys literally that Josh Dobbs came in here and was able to run an offense under O'Connell and beat us. Now, granted, we helped him in some situations, but the fact that they were competent with him, with Josh Dobbs in those situations because of how little he knew is a testament to the coaching.
As he's meeting his teammates before the game on the side.
I don't even remember the name of the guy that started that game. Do you? Was it Jared Hall? Was that his name?
Yeah, he was a rookie from BYU, I believe.
Yeah.
Knocked him out in the second possession.
You started Nick Mullins down the stretch for that team. No, I think the Browns, is it Stefanski with the Browns? Four starting quarterbacks last year and go to the freaking playoffs with Joe Flacco. I mean, that's so hard to do.
Okay, why can Kevin Stefanski run a team with Joe Flacco and who was it? Was Snoop Huntley was one of the guys, right? Didn't he play in a game?
Yeah, DTR.
Yeah. Yet he got $250 million guaranteed, and they look like an NAIA team out
well,
there.
Well, and I'll say this too. I think Stefanski's very good. The defense was number one in the league last year. So
yeah, but Joe Flacco ran that offense so efficiently.
I mean, he did.
The defense has not changed.
They're
pretty much the same defense. Now Myles Garrett's a little banged up with his foot issue, which it looks like he's going to play. I think a lot of that lies at the quarterback's feet. I'm sorry, I don't want to blame one person, but when you pay $250 million guaranteed. And you've had all the things you've had off the field, and the team wins without you, but it can't win with you, you might be the weakest link.
Mm. This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean, ZeroRes.com. ZeroRes.com. Well, I guess in Mic'd Up, we're going to talk about how college football is it's pretty much confirmed it's lost its soul.
College football is burning.
Yeah.
The roof is on fire, Rob. All things are coming down around us. We're going to talk about this UNLV situation. I think the biggest loser in this whole situation is the person that thinks they know what the solution is. That's what we'll talk about. Coming up on the other side, it's Mic'd Up. It's Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Oh, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It's Mic'd Up. I got to tell you guys, having a lot of fun so far this morning. The last 2 hours are definitely better than the previous 2 hours today. First of all, wife's car's in the shop. She's got Alona. You guys remember that scene from The Mask? Hey, bring around the Lona.
The Lona.
Right? So with the car seats being in my truck, I had to take the Lona to work this morning,
Rob.
Which is just, it looks hideous.
Rob.
I look like Donkey Kong and Mario Kart driving this thing, man. Like, my head's almost out the sunroof.
Dude, Mike and I get here around 5 minutes, I would say, most days of each other, give or take, right? I mean, that's pretty accurate. So we'll wait, and I pull up. I don't see Mike's truck. I said, "Damn, that's 2 days in a row. I beat Mike." I was like, "And I'm not early today. Like, I feel like I'm,
you're
a little bit
early yesterday. Yeah, today.
Yeah. I feel like I was a little bit later or more on schedule today than I am. And but I see this little. I don't even know if you can call it an SUV, like one of those. What do you call those?
The crossover.
The crossovers. Yeah, crossovers.
AMC Pacer.
And
this is rough, man.
And there's And there's the lights are on, and I go, "Oh, that must be that security guard that sleeps in his car." And then I get closer, and I'm back in, and I see like this like head, like he's like leaned over, like hunched over, like the roof's too small. And then all of a sudden, the car like bounces up because Mike got out of it. And I was like, "What the hell's going on over there?"
You know what you just reminded me of though, and I'm. Now I'm scared because I'm pretty sure there's probably no auto on lights in that car. Hopefully I didn't leave them on down there because that's going to be bad. Dude, there is nothing automatic about this car. Like, I couldn't even find the air conditioning knobs this morning.
Hey,
It's definitely an aged vehicle.
I got the jumper cables.
There you go.
I know you got to get your story, but Rob wouldn't know. We went to AMS and did the ride along. His truck was dead.
Truck died.
And I had put some jumper cables. I have two sets of jumper cables. I have a promotional pair that I was given, actually from AMS, believe it or not. And then I have a heavy duty set that I have. I put the little ones in my truck because they had a little bag.
Little pouch
right. For them. It was real clean. I got to jump them off. By the time it did not work because his got a 2500. But by the time we went to pull them off, you needed gloves. They were so hot.
Yeah, they were about ready to melt.
So now I've put my big boys back in, and my wife calls me today. She's like, "I'm broke down at the gas station right by the road." And I go, "Well, what's wrong? I think something's wrong with my." She thought it was like her starter. So I go up there, and I've got these huge cables, and I literally connected them. And I cranked my truck, and I walked over, and I just pushed her button, and went, boom, cranked right up. And I was like, damn.
Didn't blow up.
Yeah. So anyways, my power went out of my house. I jumped in the old loaner, and so we're having a fun show today, more or less, to bring all that home. All right, so I want to talk to you about this news that kind of came out yesterday morning. It's about Matthew Slucka, he's not the starting quarterback for UNLV anymore.
He has
abandoned that program. I don't use the term abandoned in an extremely terrible light, but he has decided that he is going to redshirt. He is going to move elsewhere. Now, Barry Odom, when contacted yesterday, I believe Dennis Dodd is the one that put this out. The response to the text about the situation, Barry Odom says, thought he had a market value higher than he was making here. Basically, like, he didn't like what he was being offered. He goes elsewhere. There are reports coming out of ears. There are reports coming out of every single side of what is going on with this. First and foremost, there is an agent involved. And whenever there is an agent involved in these kind of events, you start looking into what's going on with the quarterback, what's going on with the program. This is the first time in the history of UNLV football they've been ranked. All right? Slucka comes over. He's from Holy Cross. Evidently, he was promised money that he was not getting. Now, here's where it gets a little hairy. All right? The UNLV Collective, which is kind of actually, I didn't get it at first. It's called UNILV with NIL in the middle. UNILV. Pretty clever. Anyways, so the UNILV Collective, they were asked to comment on this. They're run by a company called Blueprint Sports, right? They said less than a month ago was the first time they had actually met an agent. The agent's name is Marcus Cromartie. That was the first time they'd ever even met this guy. He is not a registered agent in the state of Nevada. Now, neither here nor there. It's like, hardly ever these things looked into. Somebody has to basically file a complaint and everything else. I want to start right there, though. What was you guys' initial reaction when you saw this news come out that this kid was leaving UNLV's program?
Both sides have a point.
Yeah.
Get it in writing.
Yeah. What about
college football has lost its soul. Now there's an ick factor associated with the whole thing.
Well, I mean, yeah.
What was the initial reaction, Bo?
I was like, that's UNLV. Who cares? That's kind of the first thing I thought, honestly. But then when I heard more about it, because I was like, oh, it's UNLV. When I hear more about it, I just started thinking about, this is an issue. This is the broken system. This is, thank you, government, for getting involved in college sports.
I got to tell you, one of the things I first thought of, and I think this is one of the things that's not right in the crosshairs of this entire situation, but probably should be. I just mentioned a minute ago, this kid's from Holy Cross. This was his first month ever at the Division I level, right? So he transfers in. He's looking for money. It's just interesting to me, too. And Coach Saban actually said this on College Game Day. I think he was referencing Florida State, if I'm not mistaken, last week. And he says, look, there was a reason all these guys were in the portal to begin with, right? You're not building the correct culture in-house at this program to be able to allow these kids to play for a program that they're proud of and they've helped build.
Well,
and so I think that's part of this entire equation, is it not?
Can I touch on that real quick?
Sure.
All the criticism Dabo gets about refusing to go in the portal, all the criticism, and now there's a lot of people who criticize Dabo who are also criticizing this kid, and this is why Dabo doesn't do that, because he doesn't want that culture in his building. That's his whole point. And he's being vilified for it. Now, I think he's going a little extreme with it, and it's probably going to cost him winning in the future. But, yeah.
I'm with you. And anytime you get companies involved, and like I said, there is a company that runs – this UNILV collective, and it's called Blueprint Sports, and there is a company that is representing Matthew Sluka, right? And so you don't, it's not just Matthew Sluka and UNLV. It is Matthew Sluka going through the agent, going through the company, that company going through the representative company and the collective, and that collective talking to Barry Odom and UNLV Athletics. There are so many freaking layers to this thing that it, if you think out there and you're thinking to yourself, well, this guy is to blame, you're the one in the wrong. The system right now is what's to blame over this entire situation.
You're so right. And that's the thing that drives me nuts is whenever – I said this earlier. Every single person, Rob, that you hear that says, well, all they had to do was this. Or they would have done this. All these little plans that people who have no knowledge of anything in the working systems of these universities or the NILs or college athletics as a whole, all these little answers they have, there is much of the problem because they're feeding this narrative that is so false and so wrong. And they're pile jumping a broken system and making it worse.
Well, and let me finish with this, and I know we got to go to break. And I want to ask Rusty about this in just a minute. Rusty Mansell is going to join us here in just a minute. The question you have to ask yourself, if you think you have the answer to this situation, the one question you need to look into your own soul and ask yourself is, will they get sued? And I'm talking about any way you UNLV, the NCAA, the Mountain West, this kid, the representative. Will they get sued? Because somebody in this situation is going to get sued no matter what comes out of this. UNLV. Heck, you could see a situation down the road, not right in this one. You could see a situation down the road where maybe you're a running back at UNLV. Well, that's not a good representation. Maybe you're a wide receiver at UNLV. This kid, Matthew Sluka, who you trained with and put all this sweat equity in, he might get sued. You might sue him. Can you imagine a wide receiver being like, dude, you left me. I could have made money, and you left me out to dry.
The law of unintended consequences,
it's just
crazy.
Like, there is going to be so many lawsuits flying in the future of college football, and I don't have all the answers.
What if this assistant coach says it in passing, it was a joke or something, and he sues Sluka for defamation of character?
Yeah. Well,
there you go.
Here's the end-all, be-all. Here is what the end-all, be-all is. You want the solution? Contracts. Contracts are going to have to happen. I don't know how they happen when you don't have this employment. In the end, once NCAA just okays pay for play and you have to sign these contracts, that's when all this comes down.
Yeah, but we all know what contracts mean in the world of sports.
It means more lawsuits.
it's broken. They're destroying themselves. And, again, law of unintended consequences. We're going to talk to Rusty Mansell about this as well, chairman of the Georgia High School Football Hall of Fame, co-host of the Steakhouse, going to join us next. Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 1990 Game.